I went home and made a cup of tea. I phoned the centre and the two young fellows delivered Matty to the house. I put him in front of the TV and it all started again. It was hard to see how I'd last another 6 weeks. A couple of days later, the phone rang.
Maureen, it's Jess. Have you seen the papers?
No.
We're in them. What a laugh, eh?
What does it say?
It says that me and Martin and two other mystery people had a suicide pact.
That's not true.
Duh! And it says I'm the Minister for Education's daughter.
Why?
Because I am.
Oh.
A reporter came round to JJ's flat and asked him whether it was true that we came down because we saw something.
What sort of something?
We don't know. We're going to have a crisis meeting later on today.
Who?
The four of us in the place where we had breakfast.
I can't go anywhere.
Why not?
Matty, that's one of the reasons I was up on the roof.
We could come to you.
I didn't want them here. Please don't. I haven't tidied up.
So tidy up. We'll see you at 5.
And that gave me 3 hours to sort everything out.
My agent called first thing and read the story out to me. My agent is young, posh, and green. I came out of prison to find that Theo, who used to make the coffee for my previous agent, is now all that stands between me and professional oblivion. Theo found me my current job at UK TV, the world's worst TV channel. He has a degree in comparative religion, and he's a published poet. He's at the chocolate teapot end of the competency scale. Why were you going to jump off the top of a tower block? Read my file. Acquaint yourself with recent events. Well, gosh, now what? You're the agent. I'd have thought this gave you no end of creative opportunities. I'll have a think. By the way, Jess's father has been trying to get hold of you. While I was on the phone to Theo, my ex-wife and my ex-girlfriend left messages. I felt sick. I could hear from the tone of the messages, in very deep shit. I called Cindy first. You selfish idiot, she said. You don't know anything apart from what you read in the paper. You seem to be the only person in the world that the papers get bang to rights. If they say you've slept with a 15-year-old, you have. If they say you've fallen over drunk in the street, you have. They don't need to invent stuff. She's right. The papers have been full of shit about me, and every word of the shit was true. So I'm presuming that they've got it right again. You were up a tower block with the intention of hurling yourself off, and you came back down again with that girl. That's about it. What about your daughters? What do you want me to say to them? Tell them what you want, Cindy. If I can't see them, it's not really my problem, is it? You bastard! And that was the end of the first call. Penny was crying when I called her. At least that makes sense, she said. What? You leaving the party to go up there and coming back with those people. I'm sorry. How do you feel today? I'd woken up with a hangover and the phone ringing, and since then life seemed to have a momentum. I hadn't thought about killing myself once all morning. Okay. I won't be going up there again just yet. Will you talk to me before you do? It doesn't seem like something talking can fix. Oh, I know I can't fix it. I just don't want to have to read about it in the papers. You can do better than this, Penny. Better than me. I don't want to. Ah, so you don't disagree. I've got enough self-respect to think that there might be a man somewhere who'd rather spend New Year's Eve with me than leap to his death, yes. So why don't you try and find him? Would you care one way or the other? Well, caring about stuff like that, it's sort of not where I'm at. Well, that's honest. Will you call me later? Yes, of course. I could promise that much anyway.